Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. Now, not that you can believe anything else the government says, but you can't drop your guard for a second when the government is spitting out economic numbers. A few days ago, the president wagged his finger at deficit hawks with talk about mindless austerity and their manufactured crisis. In fact, Obama said, over the past 5 years, we've cut our deficit by more than half. When I took office, he said, the deficit was nearly 10% of our economy. Today, he said, it's approaching 3%. And the president's supporters are crying with one voice that the era of the trillion-dollar deficit is over. But in fact, none of this is true. The deficit is what it is. It's the difference between what the government took in and what the government spent. And for the fiscal year that just ended a few days ago on September 30th, by the Treasury Department's own numbers, you can figure it out for yourself at the Treasury website, the government spent more than $1 trillion more than it took in. Last fiscal year ended with $16.7 trillion in visible debt, the acknowledged debt. Well, we finished this fiscal year the other day on September 30th with the debt at $17.8 trillion. Real numbers matter, and that's more than $1 trillion. It matters because the money is borrowed, it adds to the national debt, we're taxed to pay interest on it, so on and so forth. So they can cook the books, massage the numbers, hide the spending, but at some point we have to revert to reality. And Dr. Paul, the same is true of all these other government numbers. The unemployment rate just dropped to 5.9%, we were told, officially, and we're told about the jobs the economy has added. But if you look behind the headlines, the news is still pretty grim.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You know, on these budget figures, what you have to realize, Charles, is they justify this by borrowing from the trust funds. So if they take money out of Social Security, oh, that means we owe it to ourselves. So their figures don't represent that. But if you want the real debt, the obligation, then it has to be the $1 trillion, as you point out.
Well, you know, that was one of the most egregious things of the Clinton years. They talked about the Clinton era budget surpluses, and it's exactly as you described. The national debt grew every year, but they took the money from Social Security.
But when you have to really be vigilant is in an election year or near the election time. So anything that comes out now, there's always going to be revision. So expect some pretty good numbers between now and the election. Maybe the Democrats think that will help. But then again, you know, there are days I go back and forth on whom I should be rooting for. But I've been through it enough times because, you know, Ronald Reagan was a pretty nice guy and he was very sincere and I liked him. But, you know, the deficits exploded under Ronald Reagan. So here we are. We're getting ready to, you know, have an election. And since I don't like that senator from Nevada, you know, Reid, I'd be sort of happy to see him go. But I have no hopes that all of a sudden, even with the help from my son, Rand, he's going to help. But believe me, if the Republicans get in charge, you still have McConnell and these other people. So these deficits are going to continue. The foreign policy doesn't change. But, you know, this whole idea of deception, why do they do and what is it? Well, I think they seek power, and this is what it requires. They don't believe they actually lie. Some of them do, but most of the people are fooled into it. Even the people in government are deceived, and I saw that happening, you know, in the Congress, that serious, sincere people would go and listen to these briefings, top secret briefings on why we have to go to war. And they wanted, you know, they wanted the trust, but they were blatant lies. And yet there are some who I'm sure they're just plain demagogues. You know, they take it and they twist it and they don't lose any sleep over lying to us. I think the politicians demagogue is. And also, when it comes to some of these statistics on economics, you know, I think it's ignorance. They think economics is too complicated, and the average person can't use these wild calculations. But, you know, most of the things aren't that complicated. You pointed out very simply the difference between what you take in and what you spend, and you shouldn't be deceived by government propaganda. And I think the same way in monetary policy, too. You know, if the government is printing money, you can measure it and you can measure economic growth. One thing that's been helpful, and I'm sure you're aware of Williams, John Williams, who does shadow stats, and he's the closest thing to giving us our real numbers. And I haven't looked at it recently, but it hasn't been too long ago. He said the unemployment rate was closer to 20%. But we know from these recent statistics that just came out that the markets just love, the participation rate went down to the lowest ever. It's 62.7% participation rate of the potential workers, which means that 37% are not employed. And if you start looking at the number of people who are getting welfare benefits, there's 158 million households that are getting transfer payment. And yet it just keeps going on and on. But from my viewpoint, it is very, very fragile. And it's real hard for people to understand when they listen to all this propaganda. But I think it's rather impressive that even in the polling now, in spite of the government statistics saying everything is okay because the stock market is up, the majority of the American people are still very concerned because they can't lie to enough people to make the middle class feel like they're doing better. And real wages have not going up. And I think this last report was, I thought it was fascinating. Zero Hedge pointed this out, and that had to do with who got these new jobs. The new jobs, they said they had 248,000 new jobs, but four out of five of them were low paying. But the most amazing thing to me was they went to individuals who were between 55 and 69. I mean, what is going on here? And the people between 25 and 54, so if you're just getting out of college, they lost 10,000 jobs. So, people look at what we're talking about and say, oh, you guys are just, negative and you see only negative things out there. I think our goal ought to be to look and be honest with ourselves because that determines whether or not the policies have been working. And quite frankly, I think the evidence is very, very clear that central banking is failing and their central economic planners, and we have to admit it. And the way I see this, Charles, is we live in historic times because there has never been a test of fiat currencies run by a central bank worldwide as we have witnessed since 1971. There has been a lot of paper money and a lot of inflation, a lot of destructions of currency, but it has never been this pervasive. It took a long time to destroy completely and totally the gold standard. But these last 43 years since 1941 is a house of cards. And I think that this is going to lead to a calamity. It's on our doorstep. But, the one thing that we can't tell is whether this whether the brainwashing and the people will be fooled for a while longer or whether somebody's going to finally set the stage for giving up on this policy, because I cannot see how it will work and restore prosperity to our country.
Well, there are sure broader social implications for living in a country in which nothing is true, in which no one can be trusted, in which nothing is reliable. I mean, the social fabric gets pulled apart, peaceful cooperation among people ends, the markets can't be trusted because of outside intervention and interference, the state allows the repudiation of some contracts at some times, and so on and so forth. And that's when our prosperity really comes to a screeching halt.
Yeah, and you know, our biggest problem is there's still a lot of control over the propaganda. We have the government, we have the government agents, and then they teach us to be scared and terrified of somebody, attacking us with a nuclear weapon, or the economy is going to collapse. I remember in 08 and 09 during the financial crisis, how they came up and just terrorized the congressman. Do you realize what will happen if you don't do this? So they have the tools, they have the media on their side, and they have the government. But I'm still optimistic that the failure will be so blatant in the economic system, in paper money, in the failure of the foreign policy. Even though they can recoup like they have now in the Middle East and got to do their expansion of the war in Iraq and the bombing of Syria, I think that is going to be such an clear evidence of a failure that the American people will realize it. If not, it'll be the rule of economics that'll dictate it. We won't be able to pursue this because, we won't have the wealth to pursue these wars. So the goal that I have and many others have is to get people to understand that when this thing comes down on our head, there is a replacement for this, which we've had a taste of, and we've understood it, and the founders knew a little bit about it, and we have a better understanding of economics ever before. Austrian economics is better understood now than ever before. So yes, it's going to be rocky, but I still think that the replacement of this system can be a very positive thing.
Well, it's always nice to end on a hopeful note. Dr. Paul, thank you for another informative conversation. As always, another great podcast. And we'd like to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for telling your friends as well about the Ron Paul Weekly Podcast. I'm Charles Wade.